Blog Talk Radio.
Well, the eagle's been flying slow, and the flag's been flying low, and a lot of people saying that America's fixing to fall. But speaking just for me, and some people from Tennessee, we got a thing or two to tell you all. This lady may have stumbled, but she ain't never failed. And if the Russians don't believe that, they can all go straight to hell. We're gonna put her feet back on the path of righteousness, and then God bless America again. And you never did think that it ever would happen again. In America's future, you never did think that we'd ever get together again. We're damn sure cool, you were walking real proud and we're talking real loud again. In America, you never did think that it ever would happen again. From the Sound up in Long Island, out to San Francisco Bay, and everything that's in between them is our home. And we may have done a little bit of fighting amongst ourselves, but you outside people best leave us alone. 'Cause we'll all stick together, and you can take that to the bank. That's the cowboys and the hippies, and the rebels and the Yanks. You just go and lay your hand on the Pittsburgh Steelers fan, and I think you're gonna finally understand. And you never did think that it ever would happen again. In America, did you? You never did think that we'd ever get together again. We're damn sure cool, you were walking real proud and we're talking real loud again. In America, you never did think that it ever would happen again.
For more gross, stupid, and morally deficient funny stuff. Thank you.
Hello and good evening, and welcome to the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show. I am your host, Jeremy Johnson, and I am with our co-host, Chris Bikerson. Chris, how are you doing this fine freezing-ass evening?
You know the deal. I got a face made for radio, a voice made for silent film, and I'm ready to rock.
Right on. Same here, man. It's it's colder than my ex-wife's heart out. It's negative 3 degrees here in Minnesota. I'm freezing. Holy shit. Probably not as cold as it is up in Canada right now with the weather, the winter, and what's going on in Canada. They're about to warm it up there, I'm telling you that. Big news out of Canada is they're going to have a freedom convoy, and this thing got pretty huge. I checked the GoFundMe this morning, and the GoFundMe for this event was at $609,000 this morning. I've just checked it right now. $746,000 has been donated by 9,300 donors. And it's quite spectacular. What I'm going to do is I'm just going to read what the GoFundMe says, and so the audience can hear what's going on. So to our fellow Canadians, the time for political overreach is over. Our current government is implementing rules and mandates that are destroying the foundation of our businesses, industries, and livelihoods. Canadians have been integral to the fabric of humanity in many ways that have shaped the planet. We are a peaceful country that has helped protect nations across the globe from tyrannical governments who oppress their people. Well, now it's happening to us. We are taking our fight to the doorsteps of our federal government and demanding that they seize all mandates against its people. Small businesses are being destroyed, homes are being destroyed, and people are being mistreated and denied fundamental necessities to survive. It's our duty as Canadians to put an end to these mandates. It is imperative that this happens, because if we don't, our country will no longer be the country we have come to love. We are doing this for our future generations and to regain our lives back. We are asking for donations to help with the costs of fuel, food, and lodgings to help ease the pressures of this arduous task. But it's a small price to pay for our freedoms. We thank you for your donations and know that you are helping reshape this once beautiful country back to the way it was. Money raised will be dispersed to our truckers to aid them with the cost of the journey. Funds will be dispersed via e-transfer, preferred, but can also be sent by check if absolutely necessary. Funds will be spent to help cover the cost of fuel for our truckers first and foremost, will be used to assist with food if needed and contribute to shelter if needed. And GoFundMe is called the Freedom Convoy 2022. And that looks like it is organized by a lady by the name of Tamara Lich, or Lich, L-I-C-H. So that's the big news out of Canada. They're going right to Parliament, and it sounds like they have a bunch of people, and not just truckers, people, just regular Joe Blows off the street driving in their cars. They're gonna get involved. I want to bring a point up before we get too far into this. When the Revolutionary War happened here in America, and people decided that it was time for a change, remember that war only had a 40% approval rating, and that's about where we're at in America now. That's about where Canada's at. That's about where Australia's at, and many other countries. And remember that 40% approval rating after the Revolutionary War took place, the positive changes that happened. And we sometimes get into a groove of being fed propaganda from all sides, and we forget what it means to be a free person, a free God-given freedom. People forget that. They get so used to following rules and regulations and this and that, that their actual God-given freedoms are put to the wayside and overlooked. And it seems foreign to them when you bring up what God-given freedom is. So I want to make that point. And before we get too deep into this tonight, everybody, first of all, thank you for joining our show, the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show. We appreciate each and every one of you. Our guest call-in number, if you would like to call in and get on air with us, it's 516-387-1733. That is 516-387-1733. And once you get into the call itself, just go ahead and press the number 1. That will let us know that you want to come on air with us and you have something to share or to add. Now, before we get too far into that again, I have to say I got into a conversation last night with a gentleman that disagreed with me over a comment that I made on an NBC story again. And he called me every name in the book, like they usually do, without telling me why they disagreed with me. They just disagreed with me, and they hated me, and I was a racist, and I was a bigot, and I was this, and I was that, and I was ignorant. And I invited him on the show, and I said, why don't you just call into the radio show tomorrow night, and you can get on air on live, and you can share your opinion live on air, and we'll let you do that. You know, we can't agree 100% of the time, so come on air. He's like, I'm not wasting any more of my time with your ignorance. And then he just left the conversation. That's how it goes typically with conversations with people I call extreme left liberals. They don't, 90% of the time, they don't have an argument. They just hate you. They just don't like you because you share a differing opinion. And it goes against what their brains have been force-fed for the last however many years. And it's tough for them because they don't want to hear that there actually is a different side to every story. They believe one side of the story, and that's the side that's been force-fed to them. So anyway, if you want to get on the air and you disagree with us, come on. Bring it. Bring it. Bring your argument on the air. We don't have a problem with that. And as long as you're going to be respectful, you ain't going to get on here and start, you know, throwing out insults. You're welcome to come on here with a differing opinion. We welcome that. We've had it numerous times that people come on and disagree with our stance on things, and that's the beautiful part about it, this country. So anyway, back to the Canadian Trucking Freedom Convoy of 2022. The Canadian Trucking Alliance come out and condemned the truckers planning highway protests. And doing what I've done in the past, Chris has actually been at the St. Paul Capitol with me for a protest. And Chris has been involved in numerous other protests, slow rolls involving the trucking industry. I happened to watch Chris lead the way on April 12th, 2018, I believe it was. Wasn't it, Chris, in Chicago, where you guys were escorted by the state police? Oh, was it 2019? Okay. And escorted by the state police in a lot. And I'm not talking like two or three. I'm talking dozens. They had a helicopter in the sky watching them. They they drew some attention to them in Chicago. They got where they were going to get off in downtown and go around Trump Plaza. And the state police and the Chicago PD had every single exit into Chicago blocked off, sitting there with a tow truck. They would not allow them to exit. So, they blocked their constitutional right.
Yeah, they were so afraid that we were going to clog up traffic on Ohio Avenue. They sent like 200 cops out there, pardon my language, but to just shut down access to the whole fucking city. That's typical government thinking. We don't want you guys disrupting traffic on this one street, so we're just going to throw the entire damn grid off. Anyway, kind of funny.
Yeah, and that's what they did. They literally, if you were in a car, they wouldn't allow anybody to exit. They had every exit blocked off. And talk about, you know, infringing on your constitutional right of, you have the freedom to, your First Amendment guarantees you the right to peacefully assemble. They weren't breaking any laws. They were going to go on a truck route. And I was very irritated by that. But the point I'm trying to make here is, what's that?
I said, and they lied about it. They went on the news and said that the reason they shut us down is because Michigan Avenue was a no truck route, no trucks allowed. And they knew damn good and well the route I was taking was truck routes all the way. We weren't going to Michigan Avenue. We weren't going to be on Michigan Avenue. I even talked to their city engineers and had them on the phone while we were being escorted by state troopers and was talking to the guy. He knew exactly the route I was planning to take. He knew it was a truck route. He admitted it was a truck route. And he basically said, look, bud, they're not going to let you do it. And I said, why? He said, they're just not going to let you do it, so just give it up. And, then they went on the news and said that they had to shut us down because we were going to endanger the public by going on a road that wasn't designed for trucks, which is complete bullshit. But, you know, that's what the government and the media do. They work together to lie about everything and mislead everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that we see it on a daily basis. But getting back to my point I'm trying to make is me and Chris and many others like that we know and talk to on a weekly basis have been involved in a lot of the things that what these Canadians are doing. You know, the Canadian truckers they're pissed off about these mandates, rightfully so. You got 38,000, up to 38,000 is what I'm hearing, truckers that aren't able to work right now because they can't cross the border. That means up to 78,000 loads per week are not coming across that border into the United States. Now, the United States and Canada are number one and number two imports and exports with each other. This is huge. If you don't think this will affect our supply chain, you're dead wrong. This is just another notch in the belt of the Joe Biden presidency as far as supply chain failures. And at this point, I'm convinced that this is planned supply chain failure. You cannot possibly be this frickin' stupid. First, with the cargo ships sitting off the coasts, especially the Long Beach and L.A. Harbor, now you're allowing a government who we're very close allies with to shut down our borders because of a vaccine mandate and a vaccine that is ineffective. Bullshit, dude. Talk about tyranny. So anyway, the Canadian Trucking Alliance condemns the truckers planning the highway protests. They are the largest group that says that they're representing trucking stakeholders, basically, in Canada. And on Wednesday, the Canadian Trucking Alliance, CTA, issued a statement in response to planned slow-roll protests against Canada's COVID-19-related restrictions, which are gaining momentum among many within the trucking community and beyond. The CTA does not support and strongly disapproves of any protests on public roadways, highways, and bridges, the group said. CTA believes such actions, especially those that interfere with public safety, are not how disagreement with government policies should be expressed. Well, how are we supposed to express it, CTA? We in America, at least, we've tried making phone calls. We have numerous people that have gone and talked to legislators, congressmen, and senators. We, collectively as a group, sat down on Constitution Avenue May 1st through May 21st of 2020, over 200 trucks. And finally, they sent out Mark Meadows, the chief of staff, to talk to us. Not once did Elaine Zhao come out to talk to us. Nobody from the FMCSA. And you want to tell us that that's not the way you handle government business? Well, you know what? The way you guys handle the government handles business with its ordinary everyday citizens, those times are near end. Because we're not only are we tired of it in America, but so are the Canadians. They're tired of you trying to rule their lives rather than trying to govern as a whole. You're not trying to govern. You're appeasing maybe 40 to 60% of the people by issuing your tyrannical mandates on people that don't want them, and especially truck drivers. It's been proven over and over again throughout all this that we're isolated. I mean, we were practicing social distancing before it was cool. That's just the cold, hard truth of the matter. So the one industry that you really have not a lot to worry about, that's the industry you're going to go after for a mandate and tell them they can't cross borders and you're going to lose your job over it. Now, healthcare workers, I don't believe in any mandates, by the way. Any mandate is tyrannical, any of them, including the ELD. I despise it. The only reason I use it is because I'm leased onto a company with 35 other guys, and I'm not going to use my selfish reasoning, if you want to call it that, to disrupt the lives of 35 other guys that are following the rules, whether I like it or not. It doesn't matter whether I like it or not. I, in good standing and my moral fabric, whatever the fuck you want to call it, I'm not going to go against that to ruin their lives because I don't agree with something. But anyway, I don't agree with mandates. I think they're bullshit. The only people that don't follow the mandates are the people that issue the mandates. They're tyrants. That's all. That the bottom line is they're tyrants. And honestly, I hope to hell that this is the start of a worldwide movement where they go to their parliament and literally remove their government and start over with every ordinary day citizens. And maybe that'll spark something in Australia, where they've been under lockdown for friggin' nearly 2 years and the strictest of measures and absolutely ridiculous mandates. Maybe that'll spark a little balls into them, too, to stand up to their corrupt government. And furthermore, Austria just voted today to issue a mandatory vaccine mandate on all adults in their country. Everyone has to get vaccinated. If you don't, you're going to be fined. Austria. Now think about that for a second. Wasn't that part of Nazi Germany? Chris, help me out there.
Absolutely. Home of 43 separate concentration camps for one group of people that they blamed for all of society's problems, including the fact that they were carrying diseases and infecting the rest of the country.
And doesn't this seem like a playbook that right out of the Nazi Germany playbook as far as propaganda and unconstitutional, unruly mandates telling people you must get this or you will be fined? It's coercion at its finest, and here we are in Austria, where we had the genocide of millions of Jews, and now they're doing it all over again in the name of a deadly disease with a so-called vaccine that works. They're doing it literally right in front of your face all over again, and nobody's asking questions. You know, I even made the comparison the other day in a news story. I made a comment, and I had a lady get on there, and I think you've seen that comment, Chris, where she said, what an insult to Jews. When she called me ignorant and blah, 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 blah. And I do believe you got on there and commented and said that there's actually people that survived the concentration camps that are speaking out about what's going on right now and comparing it literally to what happened in Nazi Germany. Wasn't that what you said?
Yeah, and that is correct. There are, if you go on like DuckDuckGo and search, you know, for Holocaust survivors speaking out about the pandemic, you'll find some people that are you know, talking, they're pro-vaccine. But yes, you will run across some that have gone out and they have spoke publicly, and there are some videos of their speaking engagements floating around out there where they warn people that what they are seeing, the divisiveness, the rhetoric, the hate, the one-party control, the propaganda, and all the rules, you know, closing down businesses and all that, and now the vaccine, like the passports and stuff, that you have to show proof. Yeah, they're calling all that stuff out. And I know one of them specifically, I don't remember the name, one of them specifically made the statement that I'm watching it happen all over again. So, yeah. So, you know, it's not an insult to Jews. I think the number one thing is people think that we're comparing the fact that we're being inconvenienced by pandemic measures to the suffering that took place inside the concentration camps. And it doesn't take much logic to piece it together that what we're comparing are the events that led up to the concentration camps, the things that were happening, the rhetoric, the propaganda. I mean, for example, if you were a school teacher in Nazi Germany and you refused to teach the Nazi parties propaganda lines, if you refuse to teach your students that Jews were filthy and despicable and that they were to blame for the country's financial problems and that they carried disease, if you refuse to teach that, you were fired. You lost your job. You were canceled. We see
sounds
that
a lot
going on now. With
similar
like
to this
racism.
CRT.
So, yeah, the parallels.
There's a thing I ran across today, and I'll just read it to you. One of my friends told me about a powerful lesson in her daughter's high school class recently. They're learning about the Salem witch trials, and their teacher told them, "We're going to play a game. I'm going to come around and whisper to each of you whether you're a witch or a regular person. Your goal is to build the largest group possible that does not have a witch in it. At the end, any group found to include a witch gets a failing grade." The teens dove into grilling each other. One fairly large group formed, but most of the students broke into small exclusive groups, turning away anyone they thought gave off even a hint of guilt. "Okay," the teacher said, "you've got your groups. Time to find out which ones fail. All the witches, please raise your hands." No one raised their hand. The kids were confused and told the teacher he'd messed up the game. His question was, did I? Was anyone in Salem an actual witch? Or did everyone just believe that what they've been told? And that is how you teach kids how easy it is to divide a community. Keep being welcoming, beautiful people. Shunning, scapegoating, and dividing destroys far more than they protect. Do not allow the political elite to divide us. We must remain united against those who would do so. I read that, and I've read it over, and I've read it over, and this isn't the first time I've come across this, but I saved it finally this time, thank God. But if you really, really read that and think about that and compare it to what's going on in society today, where you literally have a poll that just came out from Rasmussen Polls that 55% of Democrats think they encourage the unvaccinated to be put into camps. 55%, and you have those same Democrats, or I'll call them the extreme left liberals, because not all Democrats are bad, obviously. And I don't want to divide them up like that, but they happen to be Democrats in this poll. But those same Democrats that would encourage people being put in camps are the ones are being offended when we compare this to Nazi Germany. The actions, the propaganda, the rhetoric. Those are the same ones that wish you to get COVID and die. Howard Stern came out on his radio show recently. I believe it was either this morning or yesterday morning. I'm not sure when, actually. But he came out and said that if he owned a hospital, he would turn away the unvaccinated and tell them to go home and die. Howard Stern, the king rock jock or whatever the hell his name was. You know, I used to listen to that guy. I'll never listen to another fucking word out of that traitor's mouth ever again. He can go suck on my left ball. He's a douche. Yeah, people like that have become famous and rich based off their opinions and their rhetoric and their whatever you want to call it. Good for them. You know, I'm glad that they found a niche in the market and they made it somewhere. But now you're going to use your popularity and your fame to encourage people to die, number one. Encourage people to get sick. You know what, Howard Stern, I hope it gets back to you, which I doubt it. I'm just a peon. But if it does, go fuck yourself. Chris, what do you want to add?
I'm going to try to tone down just a little bit.
parental guidance is suggested.
I'm as sharply critical of Howard Stern as you are. And if I said my real feelings, it would probably scare the hell out of some people, but that's okay. But, yeah, I mean, this guy advertised himself, you know. I think he advertised his show with the slogan, "The First Amendment at its finest." You know, and now here he is using satellites to preach to, probably millions of people around the world that if you don't agree with him, he hopes you die. You know, that's
nice
just, wow. How do you make that step? How do you bridge that gap? How do you go from, I'm out here as an example of using the First Amendment to say things that aren't popular to, and by the way, if you don't agree with me, I hope you die. You know, just, I don't know, the hypocrisy. the number of people who used to stand for freedom that are now just hardcore. I mean, it's the division's awful. I mean, this is absolutely
the worst part, Chris, is he's Jewish.
Wow.
That's the worst part about this. He's literally Jewish. And you just wish the unvaccinated to die? Have you learned nothing from history, Mr. Stern? Apparently not.
He doesn't exactly seem like a history buff.
I'm at this point in time, with the things I've witnessed, I've heard, I've listened to people say the deep down mean spirited comments and again, people wishing death upon people wishing people to get sick, it is disturbing to me when you compare it to the things that happened in this world's history in the last 80 years within some of the people that it's in our lifetime. Not my lifetime or your lifetime, but within a generation of us. It's sick, dude. I'm telling you, I can't believe some of this stuff. But that's what Canada, you know, the Freedom Convoy, I'm hoping is the start of people waking up and opening their eyes and seeing and making the comparison, going back and reading news stories, going back and reading propaganda from the pre-Nazi Germany era, and making that comparison to what they are seeing today with the division tactics being used involving this pandemic, involving the critical race theory, involving race, the police versus, you know, the bad police are beating up all the black people and they're being racist, and they're not even taking into consideration that these police are the worst of the worst of the worst every single day, day in and day out. They deal with the same people day in and day out. They know these people. They know their tendencies. They know what they're going to do. And I'm not saying all police are good, but they're not all bad. I'll tell you that much. But what I'm hoping is that this Freedom Convoy will do something to this world and wake them up and say, you know, look what Canadians are doing right now. Maybe it's time, Australia. Maybe it's time, Austria. Maybe it's time, America. But now let's talk about something before we go further into the Canada thing. And by the way, if you're listening, our guest call-in number, I'm going to give you a second to grab a pen and a paper or type this into your phone if you want to get on live on air with us and share your opinion on any of the subjects we're talking about. Our guest call-in number is 516-387-1733. And once you get in, you get through, press the number 1. That will let us know that you want to come on air, and that'll show me on the switchboard that, hey, I want to talk. I got something to say, and we'll get you on as soon as we finish our next thought. So I lost my thought process. I don't even know where the hell I was going with anything, Chris. I'm losing my mind. But, no, I would like to see the world really open up their eyes. And Canada right now with, I mean, dude, we're talking a $750,000 donations. That, I've never seen that for a protest before. I mean, we've done protests and like down in D.C., I think we managed $10,000 or $15,000 to help feed us down there when we were sitting on Constitution Avenue. They went and got us a porta potty because it was closed during the pandemic. And so we didn't have no bathrooms or anything. We had to drive to gas stations. The gas stations weren't all that nice to us. So, yeah, I just want to get down to this this GoFundMe again and check what the numbers are now. Yeah, it's gone up another $5,000 in the half hour that we've been talking. It's just freaking amazing to me. I mean, I just can't believe it. That should show you. Yeah, it should show everybody that people have donated $757,000 because they believe in the message that these people are going to go and demand that they remove these mandates immediately because the Canadian people demand it. It's $757,000. Let that sink in, $750,000. That's how much people support this. I've seen one company, and I'm sure there's many more that threw in a lot more than this guy, but he threw in $10,000, some concrete company. And that's huge. Man, I wish him the best of luck. You know, I put out a TikTok. I said, you know, it's time. Let's get a group of American truckers and roll up to the Canadian border and honk our air horns and stand there with our signs showing our Canadian brothers and sisters that we support them. And I'm just one truck, remember. You know how many people volunteered to come up with me? One. And we've been to numerous state capitals protesting for the trucking industry to ease some of the regulations, the over-regulation. And we've been to South Dakota. We had six or eight trucks. We went to Minnesota. What do we have there, Chris, 10 or 12?
Yeah, something like that. I mean, our biggest ones were Indianapolis was pretty big. Chicago was decent, and Dallas was decent. I think Indianapolis started with like 85, and then a bunch of other trucks joined in. It got up to like 150 by the time it was over. I know Chicago, we started off, I think it was with 37, something like that. And by the time it was over and done, we picked up a few more along the way. We were 45 strong there, and I think Dallas was like 25 or 30. But, I mean, that was as big as we managed to get things. I think, you know, outside of the slow rolls, I mean, the trucks that you guys had at the Capitol, you guys definitely had the biggest impact. You guys actually got CNN to go and give nationwide coverage about what you guys were doing up there. So,
now, we had like 200 trucks there at one given point. And we figured over a three-week period, we had a hair over 1,000 roll in and out because we had numerous people that came in and sat for 2 or 3 days. I was one of them. I think I sat there for 3 or 4 days. I drove my personal car down there from Minnesota. I mean, that was 1,300 miles for me to drive in one shot. And I'm like, well, I'm not. I can't stay down there for. I didn't know how long. Well, number one, I didn't know how long we were going to stay down there. I'll just drive my car down, get a hotel room, and I'll stay for as long as I can. And while 4 days went by, I'm like, oh, shit, I don't have enough money to stay down here for another week without income. So, at that point, I had child support and other stuff that I had responsibilities for. So, we had over 1,000 trucks in and out of there, we estimated, within a three-week period. But we went to Indianapolis State Capitol, me and Daniel Gores and Tony and Patty and we met Will Cook down there with Dwayne and Susie Carlton and my man out of Davenport, Iowa, and Corey and his wife, or girlfriend and her wife at the time, and Paul Massett, yeah. Corey was the one from Davenport. Anyway, we had like eight or nine down in Indianapolis at the Capitol, and we advertised that all over. Numerous people, yeah, we're going to be there, we're going to be there. I would say 20 to 30 people said that, and those same 20 to 30 people called within 5 days of the event and said, oh, I can't make it. And that's kind of what happens every time. But in Canada, dude, I want more videos. I want more pictures. I want to see this. This is exciting to me. It's exciting for me to see people uniting and standing behind each other. And I am so proud of the Canadians right now, of that the ones that are joining in on this and that are standing together unified, whether they're man or woman, a truck driver or not a truck driver, they're standing together and they're trying to get something done. Our chat friends from California said that GoFundMe is for Canada only. GoFundMe. So apparently we can't donate to that. Apparently. I haven't confirmed that, but I'll trust their word out there. They're loyal listeners to the show every week, and they're pretty decent people. So, you have the Canadian. Basically, I they're the American Trucking Association, except for the Canadian Trucking Association. It's the same thing. They're a big lobbying group that stand for the mega carriers. And it makes me wonder, though, Chris, is why did Schneider all of a sudden pull their terminal out of Canada and make the press release that Canada isn't in our long-term plans? What do they know that we don't know that they decided? You can't tell me that they weren't making money up there, but I would assume that you kind of got a problem when a mandate like that hits and some of your drivers don't want to get that shot. What is your theory on that, Chris? Why Schneider all of a sudden pulled out of Canada?
Well, you know, I know they have terminals in Canada. They have some Canadian drivers that go back and forth across the border. To the best of my knowledge, most of their terminals are located further south, closer to the U.S. border. I think they do a lot of shorter hauls, you know, back and forth across the border. You know, it's not like they're running way up there by the Arctic Circle or anything. And so I would imagine if your Canadian fleet isn't all that big, isn't all that large, and then all of a sudden you get hit with this mandate that's going to knock some substantial percentage of your fleet being able to cross that border, I can only imagine that it probably dropped their Canadian operations down to something that was not going to be profitable. And who knows what other trucking industry regulations they've got in store up in Canada. I don't follow Canadian trucking at all. So I would say if they're pulling up stakes and leaving the country, typically any time a business does that is for one reason and one reason only. They have entered a climate where they're not going to be able to operate profitably in that location. And so it becomes cheaper to relocate those operations elsewhere where the business environment is a little bit more friendly.
Hey, I'm reading our chat here, and they corrected themselves. They were asking me the question if that was for Canada only. So I misread that and said that was for Canada only. Now they come back and said, there is many donations coming from the U.S. And I thought that when you have a U.S. or a GoFundMe that you can, it doesn't matter where it comes from. That was under my understanding on that. So that's something I'll have to look into, but I'm pretty sure you can donate to that. It's the Freedom, what the hell is it called again? The Freedom Convoy 2022. There we go. Freedom Convoy 2022. Look that up on the GoFundMe. That was being organized by Tamara or Tamara or however you pronounce her name. Either way, neither here nor there. It's awesome. That's great. Yeah, so I've been watching videos of some of these, you know, and here's a shitty thing, too, is you can only seem to find these videos of these Canadian truckers on TikTok. And the media ain't talking about it because they never talk about nothing that goes against the agenda or the narrative. But I'm finding some of these videos on TikTok, and damn, I'm going to tell you, I'm very intrigued, and it's very interesting. I'm very interested to see what will come of it. That's all I'm going to say. And I wish we would have had a few people from Canada call in. I would have loved to get them on air and let them tell you straight from the horse's mouth what's going on and what's happening. And I'm going to work on that a little bit next week. I'm going to see if I can't private message that Tamara or Tamara and get her on air next week and tell you a little bit more about it. And I think that's when it's going down, I believe. I'm not sure, but man, that's going to be freaking spectacular. But anyway, so that's what's going on in Canada with the truckers. It's the COVID-19 mandate, vaccine mandate. So interesting stuff. But, you know, there was a couple countries, Chris, that lifted all of their restrictions. Boris Johnson in the UK lifted everything. No more masks, no more mandatory vaccines or any of that. Just said, okay, we passed the peak of the Omicron variant, and let's try to get back to normal. And the Czech Republic, they got a new government in, and lo and behold, the new government said, okay, enough of this shit, and they lifted the restrictions. So there is hope in the world that there are people that are willing to do the right thing after it's 15 days to flatten a curve that turned into 2 years and still hide in your basement. People need to realize, are you going to be scared of this shit forever? I get it. People have died from this. But there's also a report from the CDC that came out that said, and the numbers are hugely different. People that died of COVID and people that died with COVID. And like we've been saying from the very beginning, the numbers have been inflated. And there you have it. At this point, I screamed at my phone screen. I don't know how many times a day. I told you so. We've been fucking saying that. Why don't you fucking people listen? That's what I've screamed at my phone over and over and over and over and over. And not that I am an expert of any sort, but good God, people, the shit's smacking you in the face, and you're still not asking questions, and you're still scared to death, and still hiding behind closed doors, and still triple masking, even after the CDC come out and said, well, technically, the cloth masks ain't helping. You need an N95 mask. But you're still, I'm convinced literally some of these people would live out their existence in the complete and utter fear of this and basically give up every freedom they've ever had to feel like they're safe, just to feel like they're safe. When in actuality, they're not. They still go to Walmart. They still go to the grocery store, the liquor store, restaurants, bars. Oh, but I took a precaution. Oh, what's that? I put hand sanitizer on as soon as I got back in my car. Way to go. Fucking Einstein, aren't you? I mean, they really literally think that putting hand sanitizer on after they just got done sitting indoors in around people in close quarters for two or more hours, that by them putting hand sanitizer on, they miraculously eradicated the virus. That's not how it works. And now there's more reports coming out, Chris, that there's 5 flu deaths as of recently. And they said it brought the number up to 44 deaths this season for the flu. And a guy asked a question. He's like, so you're saying that the flu is back now? And he goes, it was non-existent last year, and CDC's own numbers, you look at their site, said it was like a record low for flu cases. Well, duh, because you were telling people they had COVID when they actually had the fucking flu. But, so the guy asked that question, another guy got... Yeah, that was from the CDC.
Yeah, I mean, the CDC is the one that came out and said the PCR test does not differentiate between COVID and influenza. In other words, whether you had COVID or whether you had the flu, you have to read between the lines here. When they say, well, the PCR mm-hmm. test isn't accurate because it doesn't differentiate, you read between the lines and you logic that out and you realize, oh, shit, then for 2 years, we were not separating COVID and flu cases. And so they, both of them got lumped together and considered COVID. And that's not even counting then all the presumptive positives that were made by people getting diagnosed over the telephone. You know, you call the doctor and say, you know, I just don't feel good. I got a fever and I got the chills. All right, I'm going to mark you down as a presumptive COVID positive. Go ahead and quarantine yourself. And we're going to turn this in as a COVID case. There was so much of that going on, especially in the early parts of the pandemic, where you literally had hundreds of thousands of people, if not more, calling their doctor every time they had the least little bit of a sniffle or a fever or a cough. And so you had all kinds of things getting counted as COVID that probably weren't. And then the COVID death counts, again, the public health officials came out and addressed the public about this. CDC came out and admitted this, that when they were counting COVID deaths, they were counting anyone who died within whatever the number was, so many days of having been listed as COVID positive. Whether they ever showed symptoms or not, if you were asymptomatic and considered COVID positive because your PCR test said you had the Rona, whether you actually had it or not, you're not showing any symptoms, you go out and you get shot 3 days later, you were counted COVID death because you died
right.
within 3 days of being positive for COVID. And so
right.
these numbers have absolutely been inflated the entire time. Everything, as a matter of fact, it's just now starting to come out when they start talking about the pandemic of the unvaccinated.
Hey, whoa, before you go that far, let me just quickly finish this. I want to get into that, but I want to finish real quick. Another guy gets on there and he says, that's because the bars and restaurants are open, so the flu is back at a higher rate. And my response to that was, oh, so you're telling me that the flu virus doesn't enter Walmarts, Targets, Walgreens, liquor stores, Home Depots, Menards, and Costco's. Got it. And boy, did I get attacked. They come at me like I was the Grim Reaper dude. They flipped out on me. How dare you, blah, blah, blah. You're dumbass, and you don't know what you're talking. Dude, that's a simple question. What?
You blaspheme.
Does the flu not go into those stores? Yeah.
Does the flu not go into those stores? God, and you cannot mm-hmm. question Fauci. The COVIDian theory, the cult, it's real. It's an actual cult. COVID-19 has officially become a religion. I'm just saying it.
But that's I wanted to give you guys that example because the numbers that I just stated are all from the CDC. These are all studies done from CDC is finally, in the last couple of weeks, starting to come out with the true data, which it excites me in a way, but it scares the shit out of me in a way because now I know we're going to start getting the true raw data. And we got censored, not just me, our group. We got censored by Facebook for 90 days because I shared a number from the VAERS website, which is updated by the CDC, mind you. And they said that I was spreading false information and misinformation by claiming that these numbers were accurate coming from VAERS. They are just a starting number for investigation by the FDA. They're a recommendation maybe for the FDA. And I'm thinking, these are coming off the CDC website, you communist bastards. Anyway, I don't want to drag this up because I want Chris to get back into what he was talking about because I think he was onto something. But anyway, so the CDC came out last Friday. You know how many deaths are associated with this vaccine? 21,000, over 21,000. And might I add, there's only 1 to 10% of the actual adverse side effects or deaths are actually reported to VAERS. So that 21,000, if that's 1% that were actually reported, that means that could be 2.1 million deaths. 2.1. If it's 10%, that's 210,000 deaths from this vaccine. There's over 1.1 million adverse reactions. Now, adverse reactions can go from a slight headache, a runny nose, all the way down to myocarditis, thrombosis, strokes, heart attacks. The list is very, very vast. So, but there are specific cases of myocarditis, especially in male youths. Also from the CDC, I believe it was the number 5 years old to, I want to say 5 to 34 years old, there has been a 49 or 44% increase in deaths amongst that age group in the last year. And there is no explanation, why. I think me and Chris know why. And I'm pretty sure a lot of our listening audience knows why. And I'll stop short of sharing what I think it is. Anyway, if you guys want to join the conversation, the guest call-in number is 516-387-1733. That's 516-387-1733. Press the number 1, and that'll let us know you want to get on air and share your opinion. You must press the number 1 so we know for sure it's you that wants to talk. And we also have a live chat feature, and our friends from California are on there chatting with us as we speak, and we do monitor that also while we're on air. But, Chris, I want you to go back to add on to what you were talking about from the CDC numbers and the things that we know about now that we have said all along. And before you do, our chat come across, and he said, supposedly, 1 out of 5 children are in the hospital with COVID there in California. 1 out of 5. And remember, California is very highly vaccinated. So that's the chat from them. I cannot confirm those numbers, but I'm just going to read what they're typing to me. But go ahead, Chris.
Well, you know, before I go to explain what I was about to explain before I get into that, I want to point something out. The government cooking numbers and statistics in order to achieve their agenda, in order to justify increasing budgets, increasing the numbers of government officials in a certain agency, that's been going on for a long, long time. This is not something that's new with COVID, and you just really don't hear about it. The example I'm going to use is a thing that is known as UCR reporting. Now, UCR stands for Uniform Crime Reporting, okay? The FBI has the police departments, I believe it's any town with more than 5,000 population or something like that, is mandated to do these UCR reports. And the UCR reports, that is what the FBI uses to publish their annual crime statistics in the annual report that they give. And, of course, Congress often cites the numbers from that report to justify getting more alcohol, tobacco, and firearms agents or increasing grants to local police departments or what have you. Here's the way numbers are counted in uniform crime reporting. Now, let's say that somebody comes along and breaks into your car, okay? That is what they consider a burglary to an auto, right? Or a BMV, burglary to a motor vehicle. Now, you would think that that's pretty much one crime, right? I think we all understand that when someone burglarizes a car, they generally force their way into the car and steal something, right? That's the whole purpose of doing the burglary. But that's not how that number gets recorded. The way that number has to be recorded and documented is they say, okay, well, first off, if the car was located on private property in a carport or something like that, then the person who committed the burglary was trespassing to get to the car. So you have to record that as one count of trespassing. Then when they forced entry into the car, whether they broke a window, force the door open, what have you. Well, that is also a vandalism because they vandalized the car. They caused damage to the car. So now we've got trespassing and we have vandalism. Now they actually get inside the car for the purpose of stealing something. That's your burglary to motor vehicle, right? And then while they were in there, of course, they stole something. So now you have a theft, okay, a theft of property. So one crime gets documented as trespass, vandalism, burglary, and theft. So you're getting four different crimes reported off what we would all consider, think of as one crime. So naturally, when you start reporting every single criminal episode like that, it makes the crime stats look ridiculous. You would think you were living in Beirut reading some of these crime reports from some of these towns, because every crime that happens is anywhere from maybe only one or two things, but man, some of them that are more complex, they may wrap up and be reported as six, seven, eight different criminal offenses in one single act. So that game has long been played by the government and used to justify making the agencies larger and getting larger budgets. And with that being said, the way that they are counting right now, when they tell you how many people that are in the hospitals being treated or have COVID that are unvaccinated, here's how they're arriving at that conclusion. The current definition of fully vaccinated is the first dose and the booster. And if you've had your first full dose and your first booster, and it has been at least 14 days since your second shot, anything prior to that is considered unvaccinated. So let's say you got your first shot, but you haven't had your booster yet. You get COVID. You get counted as a COVID statistic. You haven't had your second shot yet, so they count you as being unvaccinated. But even worse, you get your shot, you get your booster, and then all the way up until 13 days after you get your booster, if you have COVID, you get counted as unvaccinated. Now, let's say you don't even necessarily have COVID, but you have COVID-like symptoms that you get right after receiving a shot, which a lot of people do, and of course you get concerned, you go to the hospital for your COVID-like symptoms, that's being recorded as unvaccinated person in the hospital for COVID-like symptoms, even though not necessarily with COVID and may have even had both shots, but hasn't written out the full 14 days since the last shot in order to be considered fully vaccinated. This inflates the ever-living hell out of those numbers when they point and say unvaccinated. There was also another one that came out where in one of the reports, they were averaging the first 6 months of the year for the total, they were doing an average of how many people were there for COVID during that 6 months, and then they were doing the percentages of people who were unvaccinated. Well, of course, the vaccines weren't widely available for mass distribution until like April, May timeframe. So for pretty much the first 4 months, everybody going in was going in for are going in as being unvaccinated because they had not had the opportunity yet to be vaccinated. So again, they do a 6 month average and, oh, it's a pandemic of the unvaccinated. 74% of the people coming in are unvaccinated. They don't tell you the part of how they average those numbers over a 6 month period and that most of those people didn't even have the vaccine available at that time. Everything with the government is a numbers game. This pandemic is not the first time that it's happened. It is nothing new. It has been going on for decades and decades, and no one ever calls them on it, at least very rarely calls them on it. And even if they do get called on it, nobody pays attention anyway, because we have the attention span of a gnat in this country. End of rant.
Hey. I was just getting into it. What do you mean you're ending a rant? You can't end the rant. The hell.
I just did.
Now, okay, fine. But I don't know. Okay. I'm a little late on that one. Anyway. Hey, if you're listening, guys, call in at guest call-in number is 516-387-1733. 516-387-1733. Once you get through, press the number 1. That'll let us know that you want to be on air with us. You want to share your opinion. anything that we've been talking about tonight, whether it's the COVID-related mandates, whether it's the truckers in Canada, whether it's what we have done here in America protesting peacefully, by the way. We've never hurt anybody. We've never done anything violent like that. We just try to get our voices heard. That's all we do. But, man, when we tell you that the numbers have been inflated, which we've been doing from the very beginning, they also do something with the numbers when it benefits them, and I'll call it deflating the numbers, similar to what they're doing with these vaccine adverse side effects. Deaths. I don't know how many stories I have come across, how many groups I'm involved with on Telegram and different social media platforms that have groups because the big tech companies ban those people from sharing their stories on their platforms under the guise of misinformation, when in actuality they're just trying to share what has happened to them or their loved one. There's kids dying, ladies and gentlemen, from these vaccinations. They're dying of heart attacks. They're getting myocarditis. They're getting tremors, permanent disabilities from this. And because your news source isn't telling you the truth, and some of them have gone as far as calling us conspiracy theorists or spreading misinformation or disinformation, and you're eating that shit up. And it's the same people that are calling themselves quote-unquote fact-checkers, who Facebook admitted in a court that are nothing but more than opinions, and they're biased opinions at that. But back to the Canada thing real quick. I went back on to check their GoFundMe again, and they're up another $8,000 in the last 15 minutes. This Tamara Lich L-I-C-H, the organizer of that is from Medicine Hat, Alberta. The top donation to that is from Raymar Concrete Forming with a donation of $10,000. And this thing is amazing to me. I can't quit watching it and paying attention to it because I have never witnessed a Freedom Convoy, 2022 is what it's called. I've never witnessed, organization and unity the way I've seen here. These truckers
are making us look bad.
Oh, they are absolutely, they're making America truck drivers look, they're not making them look, we already knew this industry. Is a bunch of loudmouth, Billy Big Riggin, bad-talking wimps. They'd rather sit on their keyboard and type their criticism to people that are actually standing up for them because, quote-unquote, I got money to make. Well, if you don't stand up, you ain't going to be making any money because you won't have a job. And we've been trying to warn them about AI. And before I get into that, go check out AmericaWithoutDrivers.com. That's AmericaWithoutDrivers.com. You will learn so much about autonomous that it'll blow your mind. And autonomous is, people are like, oh, that ain't going to happen in my lifetime. It's already happening. They're on the roads already. They're already doing runs. Not to mention J.B. Hunt just signed on with the company's name is. But people at J.B. Hunt don't even realize that most of their jobs are going to be gone within the next, I would say, 5 to 8 years, probably closer to 8, but it could be sooner than that. I know Tony actually was at the Hood's truck stop in Boyd Arc, Missouri, and he actually seen one of those self-driving trucks in the parking lot there. There was a guy that was manning it at that time, and they still are. Most of them have a driver in the seat to watch it. But that technology has, first of all, it's got billions of dollars being backed. Too Simple is a Chinese company right here in the United States. They're going to take over the trucking industry. I mean, there's some major players in this game. And the worst part about it is there's no legislation against them. They haven't even thought about it. Well, they just follow the traffic laws. Well, let's go to Tesla for a second. The first ever autopilot Tesla owner, who happened to be in the car at the time, is being charged with numerous felonies, I believe, for an accident where his car that was on auto assist ran a red light and killed two people, and he's being charged for that crime. So I'm so confused by all of this, but what the hell is going to happen when one of these trucks malfunction? Once they do go fully autonomous and there is no driver in them, who's going to be held responsible? Is it going to be like the vaccines where, well, you need to take this product of ours, like the vaccine makers, Moderna and Johnson & Johnson and all of them. You have to take, you know, they're mandating you to take these vaccines. But, oh, by the way, if you have an adverse side effect, we're not responsible. Legally, they're not responsible. So what happens to these autonomous? What's that?
Oh, there'll be a rash of accidents caused by the self-driving trucks. Of course, there won't be a driver there to be the scapegoat, like they do now, you know, regardless of who's at fault. And then they'll hold a bunch of congressional hearings, and we'll get some guys that run in there to those congressional hearings, and they'll bring in the CEOs of these tech companies, and they'll puff themselves up like a blowfish, and they'll yell at them, and they'll ask them the tough questions, and they'll make them sweat while they're sitting there on their chairs getting grilled by the congressional inquiry, and then not a fucking thing will happen to anybody.
Exactly. Just like we're witnessing right now. You know, you see Rand Paul going after Dr. Fauci, and the headline news right away, Fauci lights up, Rand Paul lights up Fauci, and Rand Paul makes Fauci itch in his seat, you know, all those headlines. And it's like, you know what? I don't want somebody to roast anybody anymore. I don't want somebody to be uncomfortable anymore. I want to see these son of a bitches in jail or hanging from a rope in the tree at the White House South Lawn. That's what I want to see now. I'm done with you dumbasses thinking that we're dumb enough to believe that you're actually going to do something about any of this. You have held nobody accountable for shit for decades. And when somebody does get held accountable, one of the presidents, all they do is they let him out of the prison right away anyway. Oh, that's my buddy. I'm going to – he could just – yeah, well, we'll let him walk. I'm so tired of this shit. And I'm tired of these dumbasses on social media under a news story that they'll argue their point at all costs without even entertaining the fact that you're not – what you're seeing is not exactly what's happening. You're being lied to. You're being gaslit. You're being fear-mongered. I can go on and on and on. It just gets so freaking old. I don't know, man. Now you got me all worked up. Hold on. I'm going to – yep.
What?
I'm going to freak out.
I want to remind our people. If you're calling in and you want to say something, if you want to get on the air, don't forget to press the number 1 to let us know so that we get that indicator that lets us know you actually want to come on and talk. We do have people that call in on the phone lines to listen to the show over their phones, you know, or through their earbuds or whatever. They don't want to talk. So if you've called into our switchboard, because I see quite a few numbers here, and you want to talk, hit the number 1. That's all I got. You can go back to blowing up there, Jeremy.
Yeah, and that number is 516-387-1733 for those of you that are listening on online through the app. But when you do call in that number, make sure you have to hit the number one. That's the only way I know that you want to talk. Otherwise, you're just a phone number sitting over there. I'm just assuming you just want to listen. And that is more than okay also. Where was I? Oh, I was blowing up.
Parental guidance is suggested.
Okay. I calmed down, actually. So, but I'm just tired of no one being held accountable. All these documents that come out, hundreds of thousands of pages, millions of pages of documents over the years of this and that, and all the pointers of guilty, and nobody is held responsible ever. That they're above the law. They know they are, and a lot of us know they are. And you still see people under the liberal sites going, I can't wait to see Trump in jail. I hope they put him in prison and throw away the key. Oh, you should. The New York Attorney General just filed charges on Trump. And if you guys haven't figured out this is all a fucking witch hunt, has been from the very beginning, I don't know what to tell you. And don't forget about your side either. You're not so damn innocent. Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton, they're more criminal than John Gotti. I mean, they're criminal. The ties that Clinton has with Epstein, there's more evidence that just come out the other day where Epstein was at the White House when Clinton was in as president. I believe it said 17 times where he actually brought women to the White House. Now, you cannot tell me that his wife didn't know about that, that Epstein was bringing women right to the White House. You think that Hillary Clinton is oblivious to all of Clinton's sexual escapades? You think, you really believe that? She stood by the man when he got caught from getting a blowjob from an intern, Monica Lewinsky. She stood by when that happened. She didn't even look surprised. She just sat there like with that blank look on her stare, or that blank stare on her face like usual. And dude, if you haven't figured out, if she's one cold-hearted bitch, I don't know what the hell. I don't know what else somebody's got to show you. Actual video footage. I don't know. There's so much corruption and so much wrong with what's going on in Washington, D.C. and beyond. Them fool you that one side is worse than the other. You know, when Nancy Pelosi was asked about senators and congressmen trading stocks while they're in office, and she said, I don't see a problem with that. I do. It's called conflict of interest, bitch. And I don't think it has no place in that I get so mad. Anyway, I found out that Rand Paul did not disclose his wife's investments into the same companies that Nancy Pelosi was investing her money in, these Chinese stocks that Fauci owns, and how rich they have all become from the very beginning of this pandemic. The same things that Martha Stewart sat in prison for insider trading, your own government officials have been doing on both sides of the aisle. Don't let the headline news convince you that somebody is doing something about anything, because they're not. Nobody's going to go to jail unless the American people stand up together and we put them in jail where they belong. But that won't happen either, because they've got their criminal enterprise built so huge and so big, they really are nearly untouchable. They've weaponized the FBI. The CIA is the biggest terrorist organization in the world. We proved that numerous times. So we've even talked about it with MENA, Arkansas, Gary Webb, he caught him red-handed, which is why they found him dead with two gunshot wounds to the head and labeled a suicide. I mean, it's possible, but I doubt it happened that way. I'm sure he didn't kill himself putting two bullets into his own head, but I think you said that's possible, Chris. I don't know if it is or not, but it seems
possible.
Very unlikely.
It doesn't happen often, but it's possible.
But
under
it does
the circumstances,
happen.
Yeah. Under the circumstances, it certainly seems awfully convenient.
Yeah. I mean, the things that we talk about here, don't, you know, if you're listening, don't take our word for it. Don't like, oh, yeah, so these guys are wrong or these guys are right. Go. I'll give you references. Mena, Arkansas, that's M-E-N-A, Mena, Arkansas. Happened back in the 80s. Go to DuckDuckGo and type in Mena, Arkansas, the two teenage boys that were murdered, and start digging into that. It'll blow your mind. While you're at it, you know, look up Gary Webb, W-E-B-B. There's numerous things that you folks can – don't take our word for it. Trust us, we've read it. We've been over all that stuff. We've studied – I've studied these kind of things for years, but I still – my mind gets blown on a weekly basis. I mean, Chris is a lot more knowledgeable on many things than I am, and I'm sure I know a few more things about other subjects than he does. But that's why we work so well together, because all of a sudden we're talking about, God, what are we going to talk about on the radio show? Well, then breaking news. We plan on talking about the Iran-Contra scandal, or we want to talk about Gary Webb, or we want to talk about this or that. By the time the show gets around to Thursday night, it's like we better just put that off a week because there's so much other shit to talk about. And that's the case with the Canadian truckers, and that's the case with Austria mandating that every adult in their country gets vaccinated. That's the case with the tennis player that was deported from Australia. The draconian measures that have been taking place all over the world, I can't believe it's not obvious to everybody, but it's obviously not obvious to everybody because people are still arguing about it. They're still believing those numbers that CNN showed them.
Let me throw this one thought out there. They've got us so busy arguing back and forth with each other about whether or not these measures are necessary and the best course of action to treat the virus. Everybody's overlooking one huge question, which is, what else will they do with their power if we give that to them? Because once a government can declare that a virus with a 99.97% survival rate for those who get infected, which for people who have no other underlying health conditions under the age of 40 literally puts your risk right about the same, statistically speaking, as getting struck by lightning, okay? If we give them the power to bridge that gap, to take that small of a public health risk, declare it an emergency that invalidates your rights to the point that they can tell you have to inject yourself with an experimental drug. And by the way, no one is assuming liability for that. You take 100% of the risk yourself for any death or injury sustained, and no one's going to compensate you for that, right? If they can do that, if we give them that power to be that drastic over a risk that small, tell me one thing under the sun that the government now cannot use that as a precedent to come in and declare anything they want as an emergency and mandate you to do whatever the hell they want to mandate you to do because it's an emergency. That is the the forest that people can't see because of the COVID tree in front of them. If you give the government this power, you don't challenge it, you let them take it, folks, there is no stopping. Anything and everything is now an emergency that invalidates their constitutional restraint. They can make you do anything they want to make you do. You have no rights once you concede that bit of ground to them.
That's correct. And we've been trying to warn you, and you don't want to listen to our warnings. And like I've told Chris and I've told Tony, I've told numerous friends, they said, it really is frustrating when you feel like you're on that locomotive that you can see that the train tracks are clearly ending. Like they're done, they're gone. And people, you try to tell the people, see the tracks up ahead, they're gone, there's no tracks. And they want to argue whether you're right or wrong, whether a Republican is better than a Democrat or vice versa. They don't give a shit about the tracks ending up ahead. They're more worried about proving their point and rather than seeing the obvious. So that brings me to my next point, Chris, and that's the new pilot program that the FMCSA just fast-tracked through. They had like a three-day comment period, and which basically was a bunch of bullshit. They were going to throw this through regardless of comments. And so what that is they're going to allow 18, 19, and 20-year-olds to cross state lines now in semis. Before, they had the interstate intrastate law, where if you were 18, 19, or 20, you were not allowed to cross your state lines until you turned 21. Well, now they're doing a pilot program where you can cross state lines. And the comments that I've been observing on social media are from the trucking industry, which is very ignorant, and they don't think past their nose. They don't see past their nose. And there's a reason a lot of these guys are truck drivers, because they couldn't do anything else. And I do mean that as an insult, because they're dull between the ears. And I don't care if it pisses them off. Cry all you want. I don't care. But that's the truth. The comment that I'm seeing the most of is, who cares? If you're 18, you can go to war and die for your country. Why can't you drive across state lines? Or who cares? They have every right to drive truck too. This is coming from the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration, okay? Key word being safety. Safety on our highways, okay? And I do have a caller, 4331. I will get to you shortly after I make my point, okay? We have numerous callers on there, but that one wants to talk, and I'll bring you on, I promise. But the key word in this matter is safety. 18, 19, and 20-year-olds, okay? When you're you live in the state of Texas, you gain, for 3 years, if you're 18, you gain that experience driving on Texas roads and conditions, which is basically mainly good road conditions. Yeah, occasionally it snows, but not very, very much. If you live in Wyoming, you're driving half the winter, half the year on icy and snowy conditions and hilly terrain, and you're driving in rough terrain, rough weather conditions. You're pretty experienced when you turn 21. Same with any of the northern states. Washington State, you've got the mountains. Colorado, you got the mountains. What happens when Texas 18-year-old goes, gets his month training course, gets a CDL, never been over the Rocky Mountains, similar to what happened with Rogel, the Cuban immigrant, not too long ago, gets on top of the Rocky Mountains coming on into Denver, loses his brakes and panics and doesn't know what to do as an 18-year-old. And the same result happens where he gets down to the bottom of the hill and there's cars stopped and he kills four people and injures dozens more. What happens then? Oh, well, that was just an accident. Or is that an accident that could have been prevented by not fast-forwarding this ridiculous ruling? What you need to remember, folks, this is probably not 18, 19, and 20-year-old American kids that are hoping to be able to cross state lines. I don't see a lot of 18, 19, and 20-year-old kids driving in-state. I do see some, so I'm not saying that they don't exist. But I want you to be aware of the work visas that are issued every year to foreign drivers. And I have nothing against foreign drivers. Trust me, I do not. Do I think they're a little rude? Yes, they are very rude, very selfish, and very ignorant. And I deal with them every day, and it pisses me off to no end. But for the most part, I pass them. They pass me. They drive just fine going down the road. 90% of the time. I got off point there. Anyway, what if they're passing this through because they claim there's a driver shortage to issue work visas to 18, 19, and 20-year-olds from Guatemala or Nigeria or any of these foreign countries that have never driven on our terrain, never driven under our laws, never driven under our language, and they're going to throw them out on the highways and the byways and interstates with your family, and they have no clue what that road sign means, emergency exit ramp. When you're going down the mountain and you lose your brakes, if you hit that ramp, it'll stop you without you killing a bunch of people. What's it going to take, ladies and gentlemen, for them to kill your family before you speak up, before you make a fuss? Because that's 90% of the time, that's when people start to speak up is when it affects them. Well, this is going to affect a lot of people. And I'm scared it's going to affect a lot of us out here. I don't want to. I want to go home at the end of the week. When I'm done driving, I want to go home. I want to spend time with my loved ones, people I care about. My kids get to see my kids grow up. Am I going to be able to do that when they pass these ridiculous stuff? They just pass it through without thinking. Anyway, I want to take this caller, see what they have to add. 4331. I'm going to bring you on the air right now.
Good evening, this is Lee.
Hey, Lee, what's happening?
I have, just trucking. I have a different perspective. I was driving across state line before I was when I was 18. But at the beginning when they wanted to do this, I didn't think it was that big of a deal because I look at it through the perception of how I grew up. At 9 years old, I was driving a tractor. At 11 years old, we were driving trucks in the fields, learning how to drive. You know, I grew up on a farm. So when this all first came out, I'm like, who cares? And everybody had to remind me, we don't have kids growing up on farms like we had 40 years ago. So, all right, so now I'll get away from that mentality. Okay, you're 18, you're driving a truck, and their big thing was, well, all these military people, they can drive. Oh, I'm sorry. A lot of military convoys, you're in a convoy, you're in an automatic, and you're running 45 to 50 mile an hour. You're in a kind of a box, basically, because you're not going to do anything to screw up because there's so many people around you. All right? Take all that away. These 18-year-olds are going to get trained, and they're going to drive. Anybody that has a child that was 16, 17, 18, that has a driver's license, boys versus girls. Boys' insurance is twice, three times as much, and they are six times more likely to get in a crash between 18 to 23. So if anybody really thinks safety-wise that this is a smart idea, they're not opening their mind and looking at all the different perspectives. And on a side note from all of that, for an 18 to 21-year-old to be able to do this, the new safety thing that they're doing is saying they have to be trained by somebody that has had a CDL for 5 years. How come they can do it for the kids that are 18 to 21, but we can't get driver training standards for anybody in this industry that says, if you want to be an instructor, you have to have 5 years experience? What's the difference?
Yeah, that's, you know, the thing is, too, Lee, is I'm glad you brought that up because Daniel actually called me today and brought up that point. And I said to Daniel, I said, that it's a very good point because we brought that up to the FMCSA, we brought that up to the DOT, and I believe it was mentioned to Mark Meadows when he came out and talked to us in Washington, D.C. And we've mentioned it numerous times that we want a better safety standard for these training programs. Because they're putting these kids through And when I say kids, they're 21, 22, 23, or maybe even older, guys that maybe be 30, never driven a truck. But they're throwing them through these puppy mill training programs. Their turnover rate in, like, CR England and Swift and J.B. Hunt, the mega carriers, their turnover rate is astronomical. They have a horrible retention rate. And as a matter of fact, a board member from the OIDA came out recently and mentioned that in his article of, I believe it was on Landline magazine. And I said, how long have all of us been saying, us advocates in the industry, we've been saying it like forever, that there has to be some safety standard. Currently, I believe, what was it, CR England, they can have a guy will get trained by a trainer, right? And I believe it's like 6 or 8 weeks. And then he goes out for 6 months, and then he could become a trainer himself. Am I right on that?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. So a guy that's been out there for 6 months, ladies and gentlemen, which means he could have started in April, and 6 months from April, he's a trainer. Never driven in winter in his entire life, and all of a sudden he's a trainer. Does that make sense to anybody at all? It doesn't to me.
No, it does not. Now, on a side note, the new training standards are supposed to be coming out February 27th. All right, and a problem that everybody is saying is in order to get your CDL now, you have to go to a school and you have to be a certified instructor. That is wrong. I went and I signed up. I am an instructor. I can be an instructor. I can teach anybody how to get their CDL. You don't have to be certified. You have to be registered with the FMCSA. But you have to also do a lot of other things. I won't get into that now, so I just wanted to point that out. It's not that you're a certified instructor. It's just that you're registered.
Talk about it, Leah. Bring up what – I'd love to do for our audience to hear what some of the requirements are.
Actually, everybody – I did this because people were saying, oh, my God, so-and-so trains his own drivers, and now because they passed this rule, we're not going to be able to train drivers anymore. They have to go to a school. I'm not going to be able to train my wife, my children. So I decided to sign up to see what it takes. Any driver out there listening, it is the same portal that we use for your drug consortium. You just go through there. You answer a couple questions of who you are, birth date, driver's license number, what you want to do, and you want it to be an instructor. They authorize you to do that. The next day they send you an email, says, here's your password, now go on and answer these lists of questions. The questions that they're asking for anybody to be an instructor consist of, are you going to teach 380 on their list of regulations that they want the students to know? I answered yes. And everything else in the green book is going to be taught. The next thing is, how long is the classroom time? And you had a choice of 1 to 20 hours, 20 to 30, 30 to 40, and so on. I hit 81 and above. Next was, is there going to be any parking lot training experience, highway experience, and classroom pertaining to driving? I did yes on all three, and all three of mine were 81 plus hours. And then they wanted to know a cost. You had a range of 0 to 1,000, 1,002, up to 5 to 10,000. I said 0 to 1,000. And then, in order to be certified, where did I get my experience? Driving truck for 30 years. I sent it in. 20 minutes later, you are now approved instructor. That is it. So the only thing that means is that now when I teach Lisa to get her license, if she gets in a wreck, they can go back and say, who was your instructor? Because in order for her to get a license now, I have to give her a certificate that says, I taught her all of these things. It's my ass on the line. That's it. It literally took me a matter of 10 minutes on my phone.
So how many guys do you think will get? How many people do you think will get on there and sign up for that as an instructor and run their little puppy mill training programs and put inexperienced drivers on the road?
I think a few are going to try. I think guys that are serious about their training in, you know, owner-operators that train their own drivers, say bull haulers. There might be a bull hauler in South Dakota that gets young guys, 18 years old, wants to train them, keeps them local for a while. I think he'll do the right thing. He's going to teach them what they know because he doesn't want them to flip the load. Joe Blow down the road that is just looking for a body to fill his seat is going to teach just the minimum.
Yeah. Yeah, don't be fooled by the wording. It's basically like we've been talking about the whole show. Propaganda happens in all walks of life, not just in certain subjects. It doesn't start and stop with COVID or anything else. Propaganda is real all over. Basically, what it is is they want to be able to hold somebody accountable. They always want to push the blame onto somebody else rather than holding people accountable for their own actions, basically.
One more thing I wanted to touch on before I let you go. I didn't get on the program other than within the last 20 minutes. I don't know if you had mentioned Great Britain and Israel, and there's one other country. Great Britain and one other country said they are stopping immediately all mandates on anything to do with the mask. Everybody's going to be going back to school. You heard all of that?
Yeah, the UK, Czech Republic, and I didn't hear Israel did too then, huh?
No, Israel came out with a study that said everything that's been done over the last 2 years, all the shots given and all the rounds of everything that they've done, they have come out now today and said that none of it makes a damn bit of difference because they found out that people that refuse to have gotten a shot are better off than the people all that got the shot. So they're done.
Yeah,
also.
See, the Boris Johnson from the UK lifted all restrictions, and
so did
the Czech Republic. They got a new government. But the thing is Austria voted to mandate every adult in Austria to get the vaccine. And we were talking about the Canadian truckers for the first good part of the show. That fund is up over $750,000 now. They're going to the Parliament and demanding that they remove the mandates. Yeah, $750,000. It was at $609 this morning. I mean, it's
it was at
$450,000
a couple hours ago.
Yeah, well, $609,000.
When you put out the article, it was $450,000. Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm looking at it right now, Lee. It's up to $783,000. And that's
we haven't
even been on the show for 2 hours.
It just the Canadians got more testicular fortitude than the Americans.
People are
standing together,
that.
And it's not just the drivers; it is everybody. They're fed
up. Yeah, exactly, exactly. No, but Dave, thanks for getting on here late and explaining that because I think it's important for our audience to hear that stuff. So I appreciate you, brother.
Yep. Have a good night.
Yep. See you, Lee. All right, that was Lee Schmidt, everybody. He's very knowledgeable in the trucking industry. As you heard, he's been driving truck for 30 years. Him and his wife run team. You can follow them on Facebook, Trucking with the Schmidts, or Monday Information. They share a lot of great information on there, too, and I highly suggest. I do see we have another caller, Chris, 7000. If your number ends in 7000, I'm going to add you on the air right now. And who do we have on the air tonight?
This is the chat room there, California calling in. How you guys doing?
Hey, we're good, man. How you doing?
Good, good. I just had to ask, how do you feel about, when you drive and say you have a passenger with you that's also a driver and you have your a set time, you're only allowed to drive so many hours a day. And I don't know how this works. I read about it or something where if you get pulled over and the driver that's not driving, he can get fined for something.
You're talking about team drivers. And basically, on the electronic logging devices that a lot of us run on the newer trucks, they can go back 8 days in our logs. And if they find any violations on our logbooks within the last 8 days, we can get fined for that, regardless if you're driving or not. So if a team driver's, let's just say he's sleeping, and his partner is driving, and the partner gets pulled into a scale, and they look over that log, and they find a violation from the team driver that's in the sleeping from, let's say, 4 days ago, he can absolutely get fined for that if he broke broke a regulation.
Wow, that just doesn't seem right. I mean, I can understand that you want to make safety on the road, and things got to get moving on. You just got to deal with sometimes. But I mean, something like that just, that's kind of difficult.
Well, and here's the thing too. Like, let's just say I drove over my allotted 11 hours one day. Let's say 3 days ago, they can shut me down for 10 hours on the spot for something that happened 3 days ago, for a violation. And it really does make no sense. A lot of the things lack a lot of logic. I shake my head most days because they create these ridiculous, like within the last couple of years, they come out with where we can only drive for 8 hours before we have to stop and take a half hour break. Well, there's a lot of runs that I do that I'll leave my hometown and I'll run to Chicago. And it's like about an 8-hour and 20-minute drive for me. I have to stop within 20 minutes of my destination and sit there for a half hour and twiddle my thumbs before I'm able to drive that last 20 miles. It makes zero sense to me. Like, I don't need to stop for a half hour. I understand why they do it for the company drivers that get pushed because there's a lot of pushy dispatchers and company owners out there that they push their drivers way too hard, and they make them drive in conditions that they shouldn't be driving in because the load is more important than their lives. And I've always told those drivers, if you're not comfortable in the conditions that you're driving in, pull that truck over, tell them you're not driving, and if they fire you, you can get them under the coercion law, number one. And number two, you'll have a trucking job the next day, because there's trucking job availabilities all over this country. So, but now, I wanted to mention you too. You've been very active on the chat tonight again, and I appreciate you guys. It's nice to see you guys on here every week, and you're always adding on the chat, and I don't always get to your comments, but I want you to know that we appreciate you, your participation.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for reading them. That's all. You know, we're listening to you, and we just have to throw our 2 cents in every now and then. And you bring us some good points, and it's just, just going along with what you're going with. I like the flow.
No, well, we appreciate that, and it's comforting to me to know that we have loyal listeners. I know we have, like, Leanne and Diane, the couple from New York State that have followed along with what we do for quite some time, and they listen every week, and then they tune in, and sometimes she actually calls in. And I do want to wish Diane, I want her, bring her, send her well wishes, and I hope she gets better soon. She broke her leg here, and she had surgery, and she's getting that looked at in the hospital right now, I believe. So, but, I wanted to let you guys know that we appreciate your loyalness.
Oh, yeah, one more thing is, when you were talking earlier about that caller that you had a little discussion with, and he wasn't really on your side. You know, what's funny is if you go on your show and you'll listen to them, you'll let them vent or whatever they want to get out, you know, and you got to be able to retort. But if you go on some of these other shows that are more on the progressive side and you make a comment on there, they bash you, they're vicious, and then they hang up on you.
Oh, absolutely. I've welcomed numerous people that have disagreed with me to come on the air. Not once have they ever come on air. We have had people come on here that are obviously not in agreement with what we say or what our opinions are, and we've had conversations. And I don't come out and say, you know what, well, I disagree with you and I think you're a dumbass. I don't do that. I don't need to, and I don't want to. People have every right to their opinion, and people have every right to share their opinion without being insulted also. And I found that the far-left liberals are very intolerant of somebody else's opinion or thoughts on anything if it goes against what their thoughts or opinion is. So it is what it is, man. That's the world we live in. I wish we'd be better, but we're not. But
yeah, you're right. Just got to go with the punches.
Thanks for calling in. Yeah, you guys have a great night, and we'll probably talk to you next week. We're going to wind this one up here in the next 9 minutes. So you have a great night.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
All right. That's our friends from California. They joined us on – they're actually the ones that brought us to our attention, Chris, that we have a chat, a live chat that we did, I think, 15 shows before we even realized that we had a live chat.
Yeah, that was episode 15.
Yeah, but we figured it out, and now we kind of we chat back and forth with them on our live chat. By the way, for those of you that follow us through the internet on Unplugged Radio, thank you to the Unplugged Radio family for allowing us to have our program, by the way. But if you're following along with us on the internet, you can go to our live chat feature. It's right at the top center. Just press that chat, and you type in whatever you want. And if you have a question, you have a comment, and you want us to read it on the air, you don't really want to come on the air, do that. We'll gladly throw that out there. And our guest call-in number is 516-387-1733. Of course, every Thursday night at 7 p.m. Central, we're on live. And once you get on, you know, call that number, and you want to be on air, and like our friends from California or Lee just a little bit ago, we'll throw you on air. Just press the number one. That lets us know that you want to talk. So, we've kind of blew it up tonight. I went into a couple rants. I got mad a little bit, but I didn't get too crazy. I told Howard Stern to go fuck himself, and that's kind of weird coming out of me because I used to be a huge Howard Stern supporter. But when he told me that he wishes he had vaccinated would die, yeah, when he come out and said that. He wishes the unvaccinated would die or, you know, go home and die. They don't deserve hospitalization. I kind of did it for me. I thought, you know what, screw you, Howard Stern. You might be $1 billion richer than I'll ever be, but that doesn't make you any better of a person just because you're famous. You're actually kind of an asshole, really. You hear all one people comment, clapping at that comment. Anyway, well, Chris, you know, we got a few minutes left. What do you want to add to all of this tonight and go into your monologue and let her rip?
Well, all right, you asked for it. You know what? The government is great at getting us to argue to opposing side so that we're not paying attention to what's really happening. This whole debate about drivers under the age of 21 going interstate, it's created a nice argument about whether or not it's safe, whether or not it's something that should be done. You know, the military drivers are under 21, blah, blah, blah. Because as long as we're talking about that, as long as we're arguing over that point, we are completely overlooking the fact that the American Trucking Association made $2.1 million in campaign contribution to members, mostly to members of the Transportation Committee in Congress, essentially giving the outward appearance that they are buying the legislation. The ATA, and again, the ATA represents the big trucking companies. What are they getting out of this? They are supporting this move. Of course they're supporting it because what they get is a huge new pool of cheap labor. So it's not about whether or not an 18-year-old is as safe as a 22-year-old, okay? This is about the ATA, all the major trucking corporations getting together, buying off Congress, and getting legislation passed that allows them to bring in a whole bunch of new drivers that are going to be less experienced and will drive for cheap and will put up with the abuse because when they're 18 years old and they're still living at home, they're going to think that if they're making $500-$600 a week, they think that they are in the money. And so that's what this is about. Arguing whether or not 18 to 21 year olds should drive is really a moot point because, again, we're completely overlooking the corruption factor in this. And I only looked up, by the way, I only dug up the research to see what the ATA had done for campaign contributions. If I were to go further and I started to look at, okay, what did each individual company that makes up the ATA, what did that company contribute in campaign contributions? And then if I were to go to individual contributions, what did like the board members and the CEOs of those companies make for personal contributions? And if you were to add all those numbers up, I'm not going to sit here and lie and tell you I know what that number is because I haven't dug that deep, but I'm here to tell you I can guarantee it's going to be a lot bigger than just the $2.1 million. So lots and lots of money are getting funneled into these campaign contributions in order to buy off these Congress people, to give them the legislation they want. Public safety be damned. This isn't about public safety. It's not about correcting a driver shortage. If you want to correct the driver shortage and increase public safety at the same time, you can kill two birds with one stone by tying your turnover rate, retention rate, turnover rate, however you want to call it. Put in some stipulations on turnover rate and the average experience level of your fleet drivers. Tie that to your company's safety score. You make that move. You make that one rule where all of a sudden you are now incentivizing these companies to keep experienced drivers, and you are going to change the game. Now, all of a sudden, now that there's a financial incentive for them to keep experienced drivers, they're going to actually start paying these drivers what they're worth so that they don't leave. They're actually going to have experienced drivers staying with them, keeping that job because they're getting paid well. And if they're going to have to, they're going to have to jump up their freight rates, their shipping rates, in order to cover that cost of paying for safer, more experienced drivers. And when they do that, the owner operators and small fleets, they're going to benefit from that freight market as well. And so, yeah, at the end of the day, we can turn this back into an industry where you actually have to compete against someone to get a job in this industry, because it could be, it could once again go back to being something where the money and the benefits that you get from being a professional driver are once again something that so many people want that people are having to compete against each other to get the job. But that's not what the big companies are interested in. They don't care the fact that they have a 126% turnover rate in those major companies. They just want to put you in that seat long enough to get you to run down the road as cheap as they can get you to run down the road for. And as soon as you leave, they've already got 10 people lined up to take your place that are just waiting for that next available seat in their orientation. And so that's how it goes. Nothing the government, people don't understand. The government is corrupt. Any sense that you have, anything that you think in regards to our government doing the right thing for the right reason and they're actually trying to solve the problems, get that shit out of your brain. That is not true. We are as corrupt as a third world country now. Everything is pay to play, and the biggest contributors get what they want. It's pay to play politics, and money leads the way, and everything else that they talk about, all the talking points that they get people out here arguing about on Facebook and everything else, is nothing but their means of distracting you from the fact that they are corrupt as hell.
I got some exciting news. I just was invited by somebody, and I lost her name or their name here, but I am now a member of the Freedom Convoy 2022 support Facebook group. It has 4,700 members so far. I will be sharing this group on our Facebook page, on the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show Facebook page, so you all can join if you would like and show your support. I will be making a post on there and letting them know that I would love some of these Canadian truckers and any of the people that are organizing this to call in next week. And by all means, I'll throw every one of you on air and you guys share your thoughts, your opinions, what your plans are. I would love to hear from all of them. So that's exciting for us. So next week should be an interesting show because I'm going to push that pretty hard to get some of those fine folks on the phone. But anyway, that's going to wrap our show up, unless you have anything else to add, Chris?
You know what? I'm completely out of wisdom at this point.
Yeah, I doubt that, but you're just hiding some of it. You got to bury some of it for next week. But you know what? First, I want to thank Unplugged Radio for giving us this platform to get on here and speak our minds. And I know I throw the F-bomb out there sometimes, but I get pretty wound up and I'm pretty raw. So if the F-word offends you, I'm sorry, but I'm not sorry. That's me being me. I don't mince any words. Let's just put it that way. Secondly, I want to thank the listeners and the callers that add to the show, Lee Schmidt. I appreciate you, my friend, Lee and Lisa Schmidt. Again, follow them over on their Facebook page, Trucking with the Schmidts. That's S-C-H-M-I-T-T-S. Or you can follow them on Monday Information. They share some great information on there. Also, our California friends that are always on our chat every week, we appreciate you. Leanne and Diane from New York, our friends that listen every week, thank you for listening, and we appreciate you. And I want to encourage people to go to AmericaWithoutDrivers.com. That's AmericaWithoutDrivers.com to learn more about autonomous and what that means for this industry and for this country. In the meantime, I hope you all, if you're driving down the road listening to us, drive safe. Keep that shiny side up and the rubber side down. Get home safe to your family. And hopefully one of these days the Americans can stand up like the Canadians in the trucking industry. And at that point is the point that we will get something done in this industry, and I promise you that. On that note, ladies and gentlemen, men and women, children of all ages, I hope you have a great week. We'll see you next Thursday night on the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show at 7 o'clock p.m. Central. God bless each and every one of you. Have a great week.